And I didn't need a passport to come here, just in case you're curious. Okay, so I'd like to thank you for inviting me to come. This talk will be very different from the last ones you've heard because we are in year one of this grant effort. So the grant is titled Coordinated Development of Genetic Tools for Pecan. And we have 17 co-PIs. We have 7 states that are engaged. It's multi-institutional, multidisciplinary. We have New Mexico State University, which is the lead. Hudson Alpha, who is doing a lot of our sequencing, and they're from Alabama. USDA in Texas, USDA in Byron, Georgia, USDA in Louisiana, Texas A&M, the Noble Foundation in Oklahoma, the University of Georgia, and the University of Arizona. And with all of these institutions, we have plant physiologists, plant geneticists, plant breeders, we have plant molecular biologists, we have plant propagators, we have computer scientists, we have an economist. I'm sure I have left something out. So why pecan? Pecan, it tastes good, but it is a profitable crop in the United States and worldwide. We produce more than 300 million pounds here in the United States, and it has a large economic impact. And they're healthy. Pecans have a large amount of antioxidants. Pecans are grown in 27 states in the United States. There are about 25,000 pecan growers. And pecan is native to North America. The native region spans from Ohio down through Mexico, with a lot of different environments in between. And pecan is able to grow in all of these different environments because it is genetically diverse. So not only does pecan grow in its native region, but has it been introduced into several other regions in the United States, and these are shown with the green arrows. In fact, the state that produces the most is Georgia, and pecan is not native to Georgia. It's been introduced there. The same with New Mexico. So not only has pecan been introduced in the United States, but it is grown worldwide. Countries such as Peru, Argentina, Brazil, Australia, South Africa, Israel, and China are growing pecan. And there's other countries that are wanting to introduce pecan as well. So I'm going to go back. So the reason for this grant is that every pecan-growing region in the United States have different horticultural challenges. And so through this grant, we want to build genetic tools that can help with these horticultural challenges. So for instance, in the South, in our humid environments, pecan growers have a problem with scab, which is caused by a fungus, and there's different races of this fungus. In the Southwest, we have a problem with calcareous soils and salinity. So we'd like to look for salinity tolerance. And through all of the pecan region, there are issues with alternate bearing. So we are looking at the molecular mechanisms for pistillate formation and initiation. So the work that is done here is possible because of our national treasures, the pecan germplasm repositories. And there are 3 of them throughout the United States. There are 2 in Texas, 1 in College Station, 1 in Brownwood, Texas, and 1 in Byron, Georgia. These are permanent living collections of the germplasm. The trees in these germplasm collections are from Missouri through Mexico. There are more than 350 grafted accessions and more than 2,000 provenance collections on their own roots. So this picture right here was taken in Georgia late this spring. And this tree here is one that I'll talk about throughout. This tree originated, The seed originated from Mexico, and it's in Georgia. Now, with Hurricane Irma, I just heard from my USDA collaborator, Clive Bach, more than 150 trees came down in the hurricane. So it's really important that we keep all of these germplasm repositories up and running and going. So preliminary data that we had is we've done a genome-wide association study. This was done in collaboration with New Mexico State University, the USDA with Texas, Dr. L.J. Grauke, and the University of Tokyo. And with that, we took 800 different pecan genotypes, and these included cultivars, seedlings from North America and Mexico, and we did a RAD-seq analysis. And with that, we looked to correlate genotype with phenotype and geographical place of origin. And what you can see here, this is just a small subset. If you are going to attend the ISHS meeting in Chile at the end of November, we will be presenting more of this data. But as you see, the pecan genomes differ based on the latitude of origin. So the Mexican varieties or Mexican genotypes cluster together, and they're more closely related to the southern genotypes. And here are some of the northern wild pecans, and they are up here, and they cluster together as well, but separate from our southern. Now, we're in year one, so I'd like to give you an overview of the tools that we're building and what we are going to do. One, we want to look at pecan genetics, and this is to help build genetic markers for disease resistance, looking for specific phenotypes, looking at mechanisms of flower induction, and nutrient uptake and salinity tolerance. And the actual tools that will come from those include we are building a dedicated website for the pecan industry, and this should be up and running in October, so in less than a month. It will be up and running and providing information. Cultivar identification is something that the nurseries have informed us that they really want, and so a lot of work has been done this year in order to be able to do identification of different cultivars. And then breeding tools. Right now, we would like molecular-assisted selection for breeding, which is has not been done yet for pecan. And with this, in the long term, is pecan developed for regional areas. Now, myself or one of my colleagues, co-PIs, we have gone and talked to every pecan grower group, I believe, in the last year. So they know that this project is taking place. And they are excited to know that we are working on these issues for pecan. And pecan is considered a permanent tree crop. When you plant that, you consider that it will be there for 300 plus years. But we do have growers that are so excited by some of these tools that they have told us that they will replant or they will plant more. So I don't expect you to read all of the specific objectives of what we're trying to do, but we need what we're going to do and what we have started, and we have made a lot of progress this year, is getting high-resolution genomic sequence for multiple reference pecan trees. We are currently developing linkage maps with dense SNP maps on those so we can identify useful alleles. We are working on a database with data collection. At the germplasm repositories, there's 30 years of phenotypic data, and so we are trying to translate that into databases. So the website, when it is complete, will have database links. It'll be for growers, for breeders, for every part of the industry that will be helpful. We are developing markers associated with pecan scab resistance for future assisted breeding. And then we are identifying molecular mechanisms and the genetics that control traits such as pistillate flower initiation, and nutrient transport, and disease resistance and salinity tolerance. So a lot of this first year has been building and getting everything set for some of these studies. So here again is our map of the United States. And each of the circles represents where the trees that we are currently working on for high-resolution sequencing came from. So tree one, this is known as 87MEX 3.2, 3-2.11. So this, we have Mexican populations that have been separate. And so with that, they're very homozygous. And so I'll show you in just a second, but we have completed this genome. The second genome is a pecan named Elliot. This is very resistant to scab. The tree actually came from around here, but the first owner is known to be in Florida. So I put it in Florida right here. We also have a variety that was released by the USDA named Lakota. It also has resistance to scab. And then Pawnee. Pawnee is susceptible to scab, is resistant to yellow aphid, and it has early nut maturation. So with all of these, we are doing high-resolution sequencing with Hudson Alpha. So the 87MEX 3.2-11 genome is mainly complete. We've used both Illumina and PacBio sequencing. We're right now doing RNA-seq analysis. The number here, 863.1 megabytes, is a little bit too high. After a second assemblage, we found that it's actually a little bit lower and in the 700 megabyte region. So right now we will be annotating that best assembly, but if you are interested in looking at a draft pecan genome assembly annotation, you can look here. This is hosted at New Mexico State University. Here's the website, and you can get on and see a draft annotation. The actual annotation from the good assemblage will be available on Phytosome, or that's what we're expecting. So besides the sequencing, here are some of the mapping populations that we are working on. In 2016 and again in 2017, crosses were made between the Mexican variety and Lakota. And right now, Clive Bach and Patrick Connor from Georgia told me that they went and bagged the fruit from this latest cross in the hopes that we won't lose it during the hurricane. So we'll see what happens. But seed that were obtained from 2016 have been evaluated. Mapping population 2 is Pawnee by Elliott. Again, we have a very resistant scab tree that's been crossed with a scab susceptible tree. And this year, that mapping population, this mapping population was already in existence. But through the funding of SCRI, we were able to do more with that population. And so scab assays have been done in Georgia this year. And next year, they will be working on GBS. The third population is an Elliott by VC168. And GBS has been done this year. And in fact, Nolan Bentley's in the audience, and he'll be giving a talk on Thursday morning on some of this work. So the first mapping population, and that's the one I'm going to tell you about, is the Lakota by 87MEX 3.211, and we've done the reverse complement. Unfortunately, with the reverse, with the mother is the 87MEX by Lakota, we didn't have very many seed. So we probably are going to have to do this cross again next year. But from the Lakota 87MEX, these seed have been non-destructively evaluated. The seed were stratified. And in Georgia, they were grown in soil, in a greenhouse. And some of the seed were sent to New Mexico State University, where we germinated and we've placed them in micropropagation. So the goal with this, these are just showing you micropropagation of pecan cups. The goal of this is that the clones from these crosses will be planted in 4 geographical locations within the United States. New Mexico, Arizona, and in Texas, Oklahoma, and Georgia. Now, these geographical areas are very different. They have different environmental stresses, and what we will be obtaining is phenotypic data. Now, the Mexican variety also gives architecture. We're hoping to look at some linkage with architecture. The Mexican trees from Mexico, they grow a lot differently. They're a little bit more willowy and not quite as straight as upright. And then we, of course, cross it with Lakota. And so between this cross, we're looking at traits both for the south and for the west. So here again is just to remind you of our critical needs for the U.S. pecan growing regions. So if we start here, SCAB is one of the big pushes for this SCRI effort. And our collaborators in Georgia and in Texas and in Oklahoma are working on SCAB resistance and looking for markers. In the West, one of our biggest issues is salinity stress. And so our collaborators from the University of Arizona are doing salinity trials, and we are looking at genotypes that are more salinity tolerant, and we'll be looking at mechanisms for how that works. Now, the whole growing region has a problem with alternate bearing. It's one year you have a high yield, followed by another year where it's a low yield. And this has been pinpointed to the formation of or the initiation of pistillate flowers. And so we have just completed an RNA-seq experiment with 9 different libraries where we're looking at when initiation occurs as far as in pecan. And there will be two posters on Wednesday talking about pistillate initiation. So here at this meeting, here are some of the presentations of pecan work associated. Nolan Bentley will talk about characterization of pecan using GBS on Thursday at 11:45 to 12. On Wednesday, there are 2 poster sessions that have to do with alternate bearing and flower formation, and the use of PGRs to manage alternate bearing. And so you can find Marisa Thompson and Richard Harima on Wednesday to see these posters. And on Friday, Deborah Ray will have a poster evaluating the efficacy of nickel fertilization. We are actually, when you look at 2 different genotypes, you see that there are different ways that these pecan genotypes are taking nutrients and utilizing them. So with that, I have a long list of acknowledgments. A lot of work has been done in my lab, New Mexico State University. Dr. Richard Harima is a co-PI at New Mexico State. Dr. Joe Song is our computer scientist. The University of Arizona, I have Dr. James Walworth and Josh Sherman, who's in the audience, who are working on the salinity trials. USDA ARS Texas, Dr. L.J. Grauke, and Dr. Jinwan Wang. Texas A&M, Nolan Bentley and his advisor, Dr. Trish Klein, who's giving a talk right at this moment in the coffee session. The University of Georgia, Dr. Patrick Connor and Dr. Lenny Wells. USDA ARS, Dr. Clive Bach. Hudson Alpha, we have Jeremy Schmutz, Jane Grimwood, and Jerry Jenkins. I forgot him on the list. At the Noble Foundation, we have Maria Montarez and Charles Rolla. And USDA ARS Louisiana, we have Dr. Chris Madison, who's actually going to be looking at specific proteins that cause allergies in pecans. So before I end and ask for questions, I just want to thank all of our other speakers. This is our first year. So I came for training, and so it actually really did help to hear how you handled outreach and how you looked at doing, how you communicated with your advisory board and everything else. Our advisory board, we've met once. We've had one great meeting. And it's interesting to hear, they're excited about the science, but it was interesting to hear their feedbacks to us. And they're concerned about intellectual property. So it was kind of a shock, but we have such great stakeholders and advisory groups, and the pecan industry is very grateful for this funding and very excited to see where it will go. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.